Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Good evening, this Thursday evening here in Minnesota. I'm telling you, we've actually had some warm weather for the last couple days. This is Pastor Jason Cooley with the Old Paths Broadcast, and Pastor Brandon will be along a little bit later here. We'll just get through a few things here concerning the news and a few of those other things, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's been nice to have some good weather, decent weather here in the last 3 weeks. I mean, 3 days, excuse me, not 3 weeks. We've had 3 weeks of really bad weather, but actually, we've had about 90 days of bad weather at least, but anyway, we are coming around the corner, Lord willing anyway. It looks like to where we'll actually be having some nice warm weather. We thank the Lord for that. We also thank the Lord that nobody got hurt or injured or anything like that, that we know anyway, and that in this type of weather that's been going on. Hey, I want to share a testimony with you and just brag on the Lord here and what God has done for us at Old Paths Baptist Church here. We have our sermons that we've put online at sermonaudio.com. We have our own sermon audio page there that we list a bunch of sermons and try to be a blessing to folks and get the truth out there to people. And, you know, it's interesting to me that as we do that, we've had people contact us about wanting CDs and some other things that they needed because they couldn't either the person they wanted it for didn't have it, or they couldn't listen to it or something like that. They couldn't stream or something like that. And, you know, we wanted to provide that type of a ministry for people out there, but we didn't have the finances to really, you know, get a nice duplicator and everything like that. And, you know, really waiting on the Lord. We were going to do it, but we were just waiting on the Lord to show us when and everything else. Well, I was looking around this week for some duplicators and waiting for some money to come in that I had expected to come in here shortly. And the Lord placed it upon somebody's heart to call us, and they called us, and they actually bought us a brand new duplicator, a 7-CD duplicator, and they sent it off to us today, so we should be getting it pretty soon. This does DVDs, it does CDs, it does like a ton of different formats. I guess I didn't know there was even more than one format or whatever, but they did. They sent it off to us, and they said, well, this one's better, preacher. This one has all these other formats. And, you know, they're just so absolutely excited to be used of God and to be able to provide this, and that the Lord used them for that, you know, that they could be a blessing to somebody else. And, boy, I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of phone calls about different CDs and things like that for Old Paths Baptist Church, you know, to get that some of the messages that we've brought, some of the teachings that we've brought here to you at the Old Paths Broadcast here that Pastor Brandon and I talk about, some of those things, you know, that I've preached on at our church and even, you know, at other places and things like that. So what an exciting time and what a blessing. I just wanted to praise the Lord for that God actually provided that for us. He always does. I mean, you know, I don't think we ask enough for things. We don't ask for big enough things. Nothing's too small, but nothing's too big either to ask God for. And we really have to live our lives by faith and believe that. And God will protect us. He'll bless us. He'll give us what we need. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. And for that brother out there who doesn't want anybody to really know he did it, so I won't mention his name at all either. But I just praise the Lord that he was willing to hear the voice of God and to listen to him. And what a blessing. So I just wanted to share that with you here. I thought you'd be blessed by that. And anyway, well, listen, I get it's time for our favorite time of the program here at the beginning of the program, our news time, and we talk about some news and
wake up!
One more time. Let's hear it one more time.
Wake up!
All right, maybe that even woke up Tino all the way in frozen Minnesota there. Or excuse me, frozen Wisconsin there. I'm in frozen Minnesota. He's in frozen Wisconsin. Maybe that woke him up. We'll see. But anyway, I just as we look at all these things, I want to bring you some things that man, I'll tell you what, something very disturbing that was just sent to me. And I'll tell you, it's very disturbing. Just extremely, extremely disturbing. There's a Twitter article here, and this lady is basically, there's a lady that is teaching sex education in the school system. And I'm not going to get too graphic with this, but she basically simulates things that she should not be simulating, fornication. I'll put it that way. I'm trying to be as discreet as I can, because I certainly don't want to defile anybody by trying to warn them and bring them the truth here. But she's simulating fornication in front of these young impressionable minds here, these young children. And, that is just absolutely wicked and heinous to me. I can't imagine. We see the rise of this fornication among young people, or among these teachers and students, and just this betrayal of trust that goes on there. And hey, listen, I don't like public school anyway. You could abolish it as far as I'm concerned. But it's just, the point is that it's absolutely insane. It's crazy, craziness. And we're watching it unfold, and it's like, man, this is crazy. And then you see these women that are getting away with this. There are women that are getting away with molesting these young boys and taking advantage of these young boys and everything else like that. Well, these women are getting away with it. Men, they're being thrown in the slammer, the door locked. They're not getting let out. Man, they're branded sexual deviants and everything else. But, man, the women, nothing. I mean, they gave this one woman, I don't know if somebody can find that article. You might be able to find it. I'm not prepared. If somebody out there listening can find it, message me with that either at Facebook or Faith Baptist Church or at my Facebook page. But message me that if you can find that article of a lady that was just, I think it was in Texas even, that she was just found guilty of it, but they let her off with like probation or something. It was like really crazy. They let her off with like next to nothing. I mean, it wouldn't even go on her record or something. I don't know. If you can find it, if you see that article, send it to me. It's just unbelievable. I just cannot believe it. That this man, if that was a guy, I'm telling you, he'd be in the slammer for sure. There's no way he'd get out of any of that. And it just shows you the weirdness. But it also shows you the times that we live in. Because if you read Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says that even the women would leave the natural use. And it talks about sodomy. It's talking about homosexuality. It's talking about just unnatural affection in that whole chapter and everything. It's really dealing with that. Amazing, amazing times. I look at that and I think, man, we are in so much trouble, we don't even realize how much trouble we're in. But as we look at it, and as we see here, what's going on? How about the Pope here? Good old Pope Francis. Pope Francis. Man, I'd be changing my name. If your name's Francis out there and you're a guy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be mean to you. I really didn't. But Pope Francis just makes it all worse, okay? Pope Francis admits stealing rosary cross from the confessor's casket. Stole the rosary cross from the confessor's casket. Pope Francis confessed Thursday that he took the rosary cross of his late confessor from his casket and wears it to this day in a fabric pouch under his cassock. He said he did so. He did so, telling the late priest, "Give me half your mercy." Francis made the revelation Thursday during an informal chat with Roman priests about the need to be merciful to their flocks. He told the story of the great confessor of Buenos Aires, who had heard confessions from most of the diocesan priests as well as from Pope John Paul II when he visited Argentina. Boy, that's got to be interesting. When the priest died, Francis went to pray by his open casket and was stunned that no one had brought any flowers. Listen to what this awful devil said. Are you listening? This man, and I quote from Pope Francis, "This man forgave the sins of all the priests of Buenos Aires, but not a single flower?" Francis recalled, "So he went out and bought a bouquet of roses. And when he returned to arrange them around the casket, he saw the rosary priest still held in his hand. And immediately there came to mind the thief we all have inside ourselves. And while I arranged the flowers, I took the cross." Yeah, what did, that's right, Tino. Tino just said something very interesting to me. He said, "What do popes have to confess? I thought they were perfect. What happened? I thought they were God on earth. What are they confessing?" Wow, what are they confessing? No idea. Anyway, this man will forget this. Can you believe that? What blasphemy. What blasphemy this is to say that he has power to forgive sins. He's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has power to forgive sins on this earth. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, we're living in some wicked, wicked times. And immediately there came to mind the thief we all have inside ourselves. Well, Tino, I guess that's the one sin that he had. While I arranged the flowers, I took the cross, and with just a bit of force, I lost my place here on that. Oh, he pulled the cross off the rosary. In that moment, I looked at him and I said, "Give me half your mercy." Oh, my goodness. You know, I heard a story that I heard a story about this, similar to this one time. I heard the story about a fundamental Baptist pastor. And this fundamental Baptist pastor, he was the pastor of the largest fundamental Baptist church in America, or in the world, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, he was the pastor of the big one, and in Indiana, and his protege that came up sat at his graveside. Now listen to me. Listen closely. He sat at his graveside, or not his graveside, his hospital bed, and said, "You know, give me a double, basically give me a double portion of your power," or whatever. And that man said it was more than a handshake. It was a transfer of power. I felt his life go into my life. Does it not sound like this story right here? Does it not sound like this story right here? Isn't it unbelievable? Well, there's a similar spirit through it all. There really is. Anyway, Francis said he kept the So Francis said he kept the cross in his shirt pocket for years, but that the cassock he wears now as Pope doesn't have a pocket. He now keeps it in a little pouch underneath. And whenever a bad thought comes to mind about someone, my hand goes here. Always, he said, gesturing to his heart. And I feel the grace, and that makes me feel better. Okay. If you think, why are you laughing? Because this is so sad. This is just so disgusting to me. First of all, here's a pope that's walking around saying he's God, and then he sinned. Well, he just sinned. So I don't know what the deal is, but it's really weird. But he stole something from them. He went off to get him some flowers, I guess. He bought the confessor priest some flowers. Listen to me, men. don't ever buy me flowers. I don't care if I'm dead. Don't buy me flowers. I mean, if some lady or somebody wants to put flowers on a casket, you know, that's all good and all. But don't be caught buying me flowers, okay? Because that's really strange. All right, I know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just saying. The first thought that comes to my mind when I see a casket of a pope or something like that is not to buy them flowers. But anyway, very strange, very strange. But, again, it's that wicked spirit of Antichrist that lives. The Pope's been a pretty busy man here this week. I mean, he's been doing a lot of things. You know, it says he's moving to deflate the breathless portrayals of papal stardom. Oh, I don't think you're star. Well, a falling one maybe. But to me, you're a devil. And that's what you are, because you preach a false gospel. You just said that the Pope has power to forgive sins, or that confessor priest forgave the sins of the priests. Scary stuff, man. Very scary stuff, guys. This is the wickedness that abounds. Wake up and see that this is what's going on. Wow, here's another one. A driver of a minivan in Surf spoke of demons, police say. Let's see. Volusia County Sheriff Ben Johnson said Thursday that a woman identified as 32-year-old Ebony Wilkerson of South Carolina was still in the hospital undergoing a mental evaluation had not yet been questioned by police. Wilkerson was being evaluated under the Baker Act, a law that allows authorities to involuntarily take people into custody if they seem to be a threat to themselves. On Wednesday, Johnson said Daytona Beach police spoke to Wilkerson hours before the incident after a family member contacted them out of concern that Wilkerson was talking about demons. Uh-oh. I tried to take her to the hospital yesterday, and she signed herself out today. Doing a little bit better, but she's still not all here. She is trying to drive, and I'm trying to stop her, and she has her kids, and I took her keys. Wilkerson said she was going to an abuse shelter and feared her ex-husband would find them in Florida to harm them. She also said police were going to find her a safe place. South Carolina also said the deputies in South Carolina also said that there was no history of reporter abuse, neglect against the children. She said she was heading to the abuse shelter and that at the time they could not do anything with her. You know what I find fascinating here, though? Here's a lady that's saying that she's, you know, she's hearing from demons. Or she spoke of demons. She spoke of devils or demons that were afflicting her or something of that order. Very interesting. I just wonder, you know, I wonder if they're going to do that to some preachers out there that preach against demonic influences and things like that like we do. Are they going to grab us and say, these guys are obviously, they're crazy. I mean, that's the idea that I get. Obviously, they're crazy because, I mean, why would you be saying that there's demons or anything like that? I mean, I don't know. Just a thought that crossed my mind, that's all. I could be wrong, but it sure does sound a little funny to me, that's all. Anyway, Google's Schmidt sees robots omnipresent in a good way. Oh, boy. We're experimenting with what automation will lead to, Schmidt said yesterday at a conference. Robots will become omnipresent in our lives in a good way. Google is pushing ahead with products beyond its core search business for new sources of user traffic and revenue in areas such as mobile and online video. The company has also shown a willingness to make bets on longer-term projects such as wearable technology, robotics, and driverless cars. Wow. Google is pushing ahead with products beyond its core business. The biggest thing will be artificial intelligence. This all has to do with the end times, folks. It has to do with the beast. It has to do with demonic forces and mixing with the beast and mixing with these bodies. I mean, I've already documented that. If you listen to a sermon I preached on the mark of the beast, you know, and the coming mark of the beast and everything, you will. And that's not to say. Basically, these are all foreshadowings of the mark of the beast and just what they're leading this world to. And Google wants you to upload your brain and give you an android body. And you know, I don't know if any of you remember this. But I watched when I was a kid the Transformers cartoon. And on the Transformers cartoon, I forget what the guy's name was, the younger boy. There's a younger boy on there, and he got his body hurt or something, and they made him an exosuit. And so he was like a Transformer, too. He had an exosuit, and he was like 10 times as strong. Exosuit, you can see now, I just seen an exosuit on the news. I just seen Google bragging about it. I just seen the Japanese bragging about it, and all these companies bragging about exosuits and other things like that. It's very interesting what's coming down. These things are very interesting, and they're coming quickly to a head here. We ought to just be on our guard, amen, and understand what's coming our way, because the devil is fastly using that spirit of Antichrist, and it's working. It's always working. Always working. I seen another thing that the Pope had said here earlier this week. Just goes to show you they're all on the same team. But anyway, he said something about gay marriage or something, gay unions or something. I don't know. Anyway, but if the Pope says it now, he's like a rock star. Everybody really cares about what he has to say, I guess. Anyway, okay, so what's going on here? Oh, Ted Cruz kicks off CPAC. Big deal. He says abolish the IRS. Well, let me tell you something. These guys say this, but I wonder if they want to abolish the IRS to put in something even worse. I don't know. Now, let me ask you a question. If these people aren't on all the same team, how about Christie getting a standing ovation? Mitch McConnell? I mean, seriously, Mitch McConnell gets a good reception at CPAC? Mitch McConnell? Seriously? We're gone, folks. We're just gone. It's just ridiculous. I mean, these people are all on the same team. Oh, how about this? How about this? Let's see. Brother Brandon, are you there? Let's see if Brother Brandon's there. If he can... You there,
can
Brother
you hear
Brandon?
Me, brother?
Yeah, now I can hear you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. You said don't send any flowers to your funeral, right?
Yeah, don't. Just send some
cheesecake. I'm going to send a roll of barbed wire.
Hey, man, brother.
I'm going to send some T-posts and put a fence up around the casket to keep all your enemies away from touching you and making sure you're really dead.
You're going to have to do that probably, brother, because we're mounting them up as time goes by here.
Amen.
Making some friends, but making a lot of enemies too in the process. But that's what happens. Not because you want to, but that's what happens when you serve the Lord.
That's what happens, brother.
But,
amen.
You know, it's something interesting to me, Brother Brandon. I was thinking about this. We have the President of the United States, right? And he's out there flexing the muscles that he doesn't have against Putin. And I'm not saying Putin's this great guy or anything, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you know what I think is fascinating, though? Is
what's that?
We're telling Putin, don't you go invade that sovereign nation and put troops there. And we're doing it everywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah, we're a big hypocrite when it comes to that.
I mean, how do you even say that with a straight face? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I think maybe those in power behind it all, you know. They feel like they can do anything because they've done so much already, and you know, it's not their fight. Out there, somebody else go pick a fight without getting clearance from them first.
Well, you ain't a kidding, brother. Somebody else is going to get hurt, you know, in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And all these soldiers and military that get sent off all over the world, you know, to deal with all these skirmishes and try to control everything. It's just, it's getting ridiculous is what it is. And it's getting uncontrollable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it really is. It's coming down to it, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you think about Obama here, Obamacare, the health insurance marketplace, signing up few uninsured Americans, survey says. They're not getting anybody. Nobody wants it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I really wonder what the end result of this whole Obamacare thing is going to be. I mean, is it just going to completely destroy our health care totally? I mean, obviously, it's socialistic, the socialist medicine, and, you know, we're rejecting it as a nation, but what are we going to have after this thing fails? What's Mach 2? That's what scares me.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly what it is. Well, and I'm just wondering here. I of course, it's all planned, and I think they knew it was going to fail. Unless they are that dumb, really, and they really thought that people were going to just grab onto it. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder. I mean, did they really think that the majority of the American population are going to just fall in and lockstep? I can't imagine them thinking that they could completely change the mindset of the American people.
You know, I don't think that, yeah, I mean, I think they might have thought that people were just going to buckle in, or they're setting this all up, for something bigger, you know.
Yeah, I don't trust the move that they make either way, so it's kind of, you know, that's why you have spies and you have counter spies. I mean, you never know if the move they're making is just to trick you into another move. So it's literally a chess game if you want to look at it that way. I mean, the best thing to do is just get your eyes on Jesus and just follow
Amen.
That word. You won't ever have to worry about playing that chess game. And I thank God, brother, that I'm on the winning side. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and this world ain't my home. I'm thankful for that.
Amen, brother. You're sure right about that. It ain't. And, you know, we know there's no stability in this world. That's for sure. Just stinking, rotten, wicked world. So we understand what's coming down. We get it. We're not fooled by what's coming down. We understand, we understand what's coming, and we're ready. We're preparing ourselves, for just what's coming. You know, whether you're, it doesn't matter what you are, whether you're pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib or pan-trib, it'll all pan out in the end. Whichever one you are, here's the thing. There's nothing that God has not promised us that we will not suffer any persecution. We all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
That's right.
And nothing says, you know what, I had somebody say, oh, you preppers, they're making fun of people that prep for things. Oh, you're waiting for the tribulation, everything else. You know what, you can be waiting for some tribulation. Maybe you don't believe, maybe you're not pre, mid, po, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're not any of those, but I'll tell you what. You know what, the economy fails tomorrow, you're still going to be hungry no matter if you're post-trib or not.
I think about that statement you just made, and that really sums it up. It's that the American people are Brother Finney has said this to me. Gerald Finney has said this to me a number of times that we're more American than we are Christian. We
Amen.
Have this idea that Jesus is wrapped in an American flag, that Jesus is an American, and that America has to be there when all this stuff goes down. But
hey,
what
brother,
we failed
hold that,
to realize.
Hold that thought. Brother, hold that thought for 1 second. I'm sorry. We got to go to a break here. We're right up on one here. And
okay.
Hold that thought through to the next segment here, because I want to talk about that. You hit on something that's very important that I think people miss here, and they need to wake up and hear this. We'll be right back with on the Old Paths broadcast. We got a song, A Few Good Men by the Seminole String Band. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
Speaker who knows just what to say. He
All right. Well, we are back with the Old Paths broadcast. I'm with Pastor Brandon Teague. This is Pastor Jason Cooley, and we are talking about Americans and how they are more Christian, are more American than they are Christian. Go ahead and finish that thought, brother.
Yeah, like I was saying before we went to the break, your friend and mine, well, actually, he's your church member.
Amen.
Attorney Gerald Finney. He knows more than a lot of pastors that I know. I tell
Amen.
You, one of the most studied men of God that I know. And I tell you, you're right, and some of the other fellows that we had on the program, but Brother Finney is a very, very, very learned man of God. And he said, you know, that most of them are more American than they are Christian, most people who claim to be believers in America. And we have this false assumption that America will be around for the rapture of the church. And there's no guarantee of that. We have this kind of a cocky arrogancy about us as the American version of the New Testament church over here, and just can't conceive that God would allow this nation to be steamrolled over by communism or poverty or famine or whatever. But why wouldn't he? We're nothing but a pile of vomit, of abominations on both sides of our continent. I mean, both sides of our country, and strewn with meth addicts and everything else all down through the middle. So, I mean, why wouldn't God judge us? There are abortion clinics in every major city. Why wouldn't he? We're the hub for television and music and movies and in the world. We pump filth out from every portal in America. So why wouldn't he just completely destroy us off of the globe? It scares me to think what our fate may be.
You know, brother, it seems like to me that every major sporting event, every major Hollywood event, every major TV event or whatever is just nothing more than advertisement for the Illuminati Luciferianism and false, you know, they're all doing Masonic signs. They're all doing,
well, sure.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable today.
Well,
it's mainstream now.
It's mainstream,
yeah.
Brother. The hip hop culture, the rap culture, the Justin Bieber culture, the Miley Cyrus culture, those people have made it mainstream now. It's not cool to throw up your Illuminati hand signs. It's now cool to talk about being in a secret society. So they brought it to the forefront. It's now cool. And, you don't think the devil's going to take that and milk it for all it's worth. He will.
Oh.
And, look how long it took us to get rid of disco. Look how long it took us to get rid of heavy metal. Well, now we're into, new world order genre. How long will that last? That devil's going to capitalize. And, that's why it's everywhere. It's what's
he's a master at merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an absolute master at it.
Yep, and he's got it on the forefront. I mean, you know, it's right now. It's if you're a sodomite, you know, you are hot in the media. Everybody wants to have you on the show. Everybody wants to have you. I mean, they want to glorify it. You know, this whole thing in the NFL now. This Michael Sam kid out of Missouri or whatever. You know, that's all anybody can talk about. And he's like he's a kid that probably won't go until the sixth round of the draft. But he's gay, they say. He's gay. Well, he's a sodomite. And they glorify it. That one basketball player that came out, they glorify it. And, they're pushing it. They push this whole thing everywhere we turn. And America's drowning. She's choking on her own death rattle. And it just pains me, brother. It pains me. I tell you what pains me. I was thinking about before the show tonight. What pains me more than anything else is that you and I and so many other pastors around the country are beating this same drum and trying to warn people, trying to wake people up. You've got talk show hosts trying to do it from the political angle, but you've got others like us who are out there trying to do the very same thing. You got men on street corners who are doing the very same thing. You've got men in parks like you guys have been doing the very same thing. You got them preaching from the pulpits, but America is so so asleep. They just, you know, they're not listening to this program tonight. You know, the people we're so burdened about, they're not listening to this kind of program tonight. The people that listen to this kind of program are the people who think like we think, the people who already have their eyes open. So that's what burdens me so. So I urge our listeners to tell people, invite people to listen, and direct them to our blog talk page and show them how to get to it, and let them know, and turn them on to what we're talking about, because we're just trying to reach people. We're trying to wake people up. We're trying to get more people into the kingdom of God. We're trying to bring people to the point where the Holy Ghost can get them under conviction. They'll repent. We want them to repent, and if they're lost, to be born again. If they're just a backslidden Christian, we want them to repent and give their heart and their life back to the Lord and serve Him with everything they have. So I'm just burdened, brother. I'm really burdened about people out there today, and I think they're just they're just mesmerized by all the of technology and. You know, it's turned us into zombies. We sit and stare in our laps. And, you know, we don't know anybody around us anymore. We just know what's on our cell phone or on our device.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, brother. We got to watch that. We got to be careful. We got to be – that's what the Bible says, to watch and to be alert and to know what's going on around you. And that's why we got to get out of our comfort zone, and we got to go do things that we don't want to do and that we wouldn't normally do for the Lord, just to be able to break free from the matrix, so to speak, of everything. You know, it's interesting, as you talk about that, it's a great segue into what we're going to be dealing with here tonight with this movie. Now, let me ask you, Brother Brandon, what have you heard about this so far, this Son of God movie that we're going to talk about here?
Well, I read a very brief synopsis of it, and it was a link, and I couldn't tell you where it came from, but the author of the little short review said that, you know, that Christians would follow the story pretty good, but that anybody else who was not a believer would be looking at this movie saying, you know, why is this guy doing all this stuff? This guy's out of his mind. Well, of course, but they complained about the cinematography. They said that it was botched together, that it was pieces of that Bible miniseries that had been inserted in there, and it was just kind of a thrown together movie. And of course, I've heard about the sex appeal of the male actor that plays Jesus, and I also have heard about the fact that Satan was left on the cutting room floor. Now, those are the things that I've really heard about it. But I've heard from you now that there's a great New Age influence in this movie, and I can certainly see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, it's as I looked, it said. By the way, it says here that this. Let's look at this figure here. This past weekend, the box office take for Son of God topped $26.5 million.
$26.5 million.
Yeah, and an attention-getting sum that exceeded expectations for this offering from the producers of the TV miniseries The Bible. Mark Burnett and his wife, actress Roma Downey. Well, we're going to talk about Roma Downey here. I'm going to open up, and brother, I didn't send you this part here. I should have sent it out to everybody, but I didn't get it sent out in time. But this part right here is it's interesting. This is an article that deals with this, that deals with who these people actually are.
Mm-hmm.
These people are very interesting. Now, Roma Downey, you might know her from, remember her from movies such as, or television series, Touched by an Angel.
Well, I never watched that for some reason.
Well, I didn't either, brother, but I'll tell you what, Touched by an Angel should have been called Touched by a Devil. Because that's
right.
What this lady's been touched by is a devil, not an angel, not at least not an angel of God, maybe an angel of the wicked one,
right.
But not one of God. Now, let me read you a few things here. What do you call someone who is a student of the New Age psychology and spiritualism? Do you call them New Agers? Do you call them Seekers? Would you dare call them Christian? Well, if you're Roma Downey, then yes, you would call yourself all of the above. Recently, I was coming, and this article says, recently I was coming across one of the Christian channels and stumbled upon the Jim Baker Show. On the program, Jim and his wife Lori were hosting their special guests Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, as well as a musical guest. It was such a weird mixture of evangelical mishmash that I was lured to watching the program myself to find out exactly what was happening. As I sat and listened, this author says, to Jim introduce the two guests, Downey and Burnett, I recalled their previous work on the History Channel's The Bible, and how they managed to literally rewrite the Bible itself and presented another gospel message altogether. I was captured by Downey and Burnett's aggressive but subtle attempt to portray themselves as believers. The sappy spiritual love fest that permeated on set, it was just terrible, they said. It was just disgusting. And they were preaching another Jesus, basically, is what he was saying. It needs to be understood by all who read this article that some facts need to be addressed. Roma Downey, a devout Roman Catholic, now stop there for a second. Exactly, brother. When you start telling me you're a Roman Catholic, okay,
yeah,
and you're making a movie about Christ, and now I'm getting a little bit nervous already. Okay.
Yeah, we can turn around right there. I mean, we don't have to go any further.
Yep. That should end it. But it gets even worse than that. As if there could be a worse thing than that, there is. Along with her husband, were heavily influenced in New Age spirituality. Downey graduated from the University of Santa Monica, a private graduate school founded by New Age spiritual and self-help guru John Roger, and will graduate with a master's degree. Roma went even further into her New Age Catholic spirituality by teaming up with acclaimed psychic John Edwards. Well, now. And co-produced a CD. Now, listen to this.
Yeah, I remember him. He was on TV.
Yeah, you remember that guy? He was the famous psychic on TV. And I don't mean that lady that had the crystal ball that said that her name was Chloe. Does anybody remember Chloe?
No. You call in and talk to Miss Cleo. It was Miss Cleo.
That's it, Cleo! Oh, my goodness, how do you remember that? I bet you even Tino's old enough to remember Miss Cleo.
Oh, sure. She was floating in the clouds.
Remember her? I'm keeping it real for you. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it real for you, Miss Chloe. Miss Chloe's keeping it real for you.
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, yeah, I keep getting the name
Miss
wrong.
Miss Cleo,
she
had a little Jamaican accent.
That's right. Well, anyway, so John Edwards is not Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
And certainly not the senator either, right?
No, not that guy either. And even Tino just said, yep, I remember that crazy nut lady.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So John Edwards, he co-produced a CD. Now, listen, this is where it gets – now, listen, John Edwards is a psychic that deals with familiar spirits. Understand
right.
that this movie is made by devils. I want you to understand
right.
this. Now, listen to what these people did. They co-produced a CD for children to be used for meditation and enlightenment. Now, I want to stop there at that word enlightenment. I want you to understand what these people mean when they say enlightenment. They're not talking about helping you to understand the Word of God. They're not talking about teaching you the Bible. They are talking about spiritism. Enlightenment, when they use it, is a word that should take you immediately and cause you to go, uh-oh. What are they talking about?
They want you to achieve your higher self. That's what they want you to do.
Right. It is an occult catchphrase. When you hear that, that's an occult. That's a cult catchphrase. It's magic.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting you to tap into something. They're that's what they're doing. Okay,
brother. Let me throw this thought at you. Isn't this very a very modern day version of Westcott and Hort? With a perversion of you know, because you've got these spiritists handling things of God and perverting them, and that's exactly what Westcott and Hort did.
You better believe it is. And, they, you know, that's when all the rise of the occult during Westcott and Hort, that's when all the rise of the occult really took place. That's when all of it started to happen. With all these – see, brother, when, and we don't have time to go down this rabbit trail because, but it gets deep.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
But the rise of the occult, when you started putting – when they started putting all these modern perversions out there, guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Satan gets more power.
Absolutely.
Oh, Christians aren't even reading the Word of God anymore. They don't even have the Word of God. You go to average churches and they've got the NIV. What is that? It's a New Age Bible version. It's wicked. It's not the Word of God. It's tainted.
Amen.
And there's no power with it either. There's no power with it. Okay.
Right.
All right, as we move on here. So anyway, so they make this CD. This is the lady that made the movie, okay? Now she gets with this psychic buddy of hers. And they co-produce a CD for children so they can get them into meditation and enlightenment. While Edwards introduced the teachings of contacting the dead, necromancy, in the book
mm-hmm.
Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology. The New Age Roma Downey provides this glowing endorsement of this book. And listen to what she said. She said, as a USM graduate, I know firsthand the value I received by participating with Ron and Mary in the master's degree program in spiritual psychology. I am so grateful to have loyalty to your soul to sweetly remind me of all I have learned. Let's just say that I went from playing an angel on TV to living more of an angelic life every day.
Now, spiritual psychology, isn't that what the... Isn't that what Joel Osteen teaches and Robert Shuler?
Pretty much. It's also what Scientology, I believe, teaches and a few others like that. I mean, it's very similar. It's all very similar. It's all kind of a hodgepodge of New Ageism.
I remember one quote from Robert Shuler's son. I can't remember what his name is, but I remember he made this statement. He said, "We are spiritual beings on a human journey."
Wow.
And that's very New Age. Very New Age.
Yeah, well, he's got to push and prompt and primp his New Age philosophy on everybody he can. They all do that. I mean, his father is a stinking rotten heretic if there ever was one.
Right.
Okay, even further in regards to Miss Downey's position regarding spiritualism, her Catholic religion, Roma advocates the Eastern mysticism teachings of Eckhart Tolle. Another spiritual giant in the field of New Age teachings, not to mention the connections Tolle has with Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, Oprah is a New Age witch.
Yes, she is. Very much so.
And ladies will do themselves a big favor. Stop eating the bonbons and stop watching Winfrey, okay? She's a devil.
Amen.
And send your bonbons to me and Tino. We'll eat some of them. All right, but save the Oprah Winfrey for the trash can.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you got Christian women sit and watch that stuff every day. They sit and watch Ellen DeGeneres or whatever her name is. They sit and watch.
DeGeneres a good one for her.
Ellen DeGeneres. Go ahead, brother. I'm running rabbit trails.
It's all right. Okay, so this Roma lady, okay, she's the one that founded the movie. She made the movie. Her and her husband, Burnett, they made the movie. So get this. They made this new Son of God movie that all the new evangelicals, all the bigwig preachers are backing up saying, you got to go see this movie. Joel Osteen, and I'll get to him a little bit later. All right. So Roma here, she gets with Oprah and all the other ones, but it's fascinating to see just the connection that they all have together. Roma has consistently stated in past and current interviews that she is on a spiritual journey. Not that she's been born again, but
yeah.
That she regularly seeks a greater understanding of the world and the universe through different means, namely spiritualism, through higher
Scientology.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. Through higher intellectualism. She says that spiritual. She says that spiritual psychology is where the mind connects to the energies surrounding the individual to gain a higher understanding of themselves and the world they live in.
Yeah, that's. I mean, and that's nothing more than a few shows ago when I talked about that Yaqui Indian sorcery, brother. That's the same stuff.
Man, I watched a video. On YouTube, a little blurb of video on YouTube, and I'm telling you what, it was one of the scariest things I ever seen. It was something of these voodoo priests, and they were doing magic, and they were summoning up devils, and the way they were doing it was a very short clip. I didn't dwell on it or anything, but it's a very short clip. But I watched it, and I watched what they were doing, and the dances that they were doing, and the way that they were contorting their body and everything else was just simply demonic. It was straight up. They were consulting devils. That's exactly what they were doing. And this is what they're trying to conjure up here. This is that new gospel that they're trying to preach. This Roma Downey is also friends with Della Reese, that singer and actress, as well as the founder of pastor of the Church of Universal Foundation for Better Living, a universal New Age church.
Mm. Luciferianism.
It sure is. It says Universal New Age Church, which promotes mystic teachings and the New Age spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And that. So
they all.
Go ahead.
I said they all worship the light bearer. They're all seeking enlightenment from the light bearer.
My, brother, it gets scarier and scarier, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does.
These people do not stop their push, but now they've made a movie and said that effeminate androgynous man that they've made Jesus on the movie. You know, I'm gonna read you an article actually, if I can find it here. I want to read you this. We've got about 5 minutes, though, before the break here. And
okay.
So I don't have time to get to that here, but let's just see if I do here. We'll see. Boy, this thing was giving me a fit. Now it comes up. It wouldn't for Sunday, it would not come up. I couldn't get it to. But they want your church, and we'll close out with this in 5 minutes. And when we come back, we'll really hit it hard and talk about, well, it was Jesus sexy? Not the Jesus of the Bible, anyway, but Jesus is hot and Jesus is sexy is what these people are saying and all this other kind of stuff. We're gonna get into that. But you know what? As we close out this hour here, they say, well, why should your church be involved? See, now all these movies, like I covered this under Man of Steel. They sent sermon notes to churches telling them, hey, listen, preach this. Send all your people to Son of God. I mean, to Man of Steel, Man of Sin. Same thing with this. Send them all to this Son of God.
And they're sending them materials, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go watch the movie, and here, the studio, Hollywood, will send the Sunday school teacher materials to teach on.
You actually order it from them, but they'll send out those. They're probably sending emails out to these churches telling them about it. But they have outreach booklets that you can order, and they're $49.99. You know, they're $49.99, and you can get their 4 sermons in coordinated video clips, campaign planning, social media graphics, and digital media guide, sample invitation tools, outreach booklet.
So wait a minute. Fox Studios is now competing with Lifeway Publishers. Am I clear on that?
Yeah, they probably all own each other anyway. But Rupert Murdoch. It's Rupert Murdoch owns his own empire. So I mean, it's not like it's a big stretch for him. He's already got the NIV, doesn't he? If I'm not mistaken.
He does. He owns copyright. You're right about that. And he also is a part of Penthouse Magazine as well, and the horrible. Wretched Family Guy.
Yeah, he's a pornographer, Rupert Murdoch is, and that's why I don't buy any Zondervan Bibles, even if they are King James, because I don't want to support Rupert Murdoch either when it comes to that. You know, especially I'd rather local church Bible church, local church publishers, is that what it is? Local, I always say it wrong.
Yes, sir.
Local, I, say it. Go ahead, brother.
I don't know if I'll get it right, but it's I think it's local church Bible publishers.
Yeah, I believe that is. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me and send me an email on it or send me a message on it. But anyway, this movie night planning guide, the DVD-based small group study kit, the first week, who is he? The Son of God, who is he? And they go through and they ask some questions, the Savior of the world. The next, he's the Son of God. Then he's the Man of Sorrows, and he's the Lamb of God. So, I mean, anyway, so they'll help you out. You know, if you, brother, if you don't know what to preach, and we got to go to a break here, but if you don't know what to preach, brother, then, hey, Fox will help us out, man. They'll send us, for $49.99, they'll send us everything we need to know about how to preach.
They got the audacity to charge for it. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, man, there's good money. Hey, like I've told people before, and we'll close on this here, there's good money in lying to people, man. There's a whole lot of good money in lying.
That's the truth. Isn't it that funny?
Yep, it sure is. All right, well, listen, we got to go to a break here, and let's see. We've got Matthew 24 by the Marksman Quartet.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, man, we'll be right back with you on the Old Path Broadcast.
I believe the time is coming for our Lord to come again. I believe the time is even at the door. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. We are living, surely living in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, tell us when these things are going to be. Jesus answered, be watching, let each one be free from sin, and take heed no man shall ever you deceive. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout, for he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is near. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, as in Matthew it appeared. We should live our life for him and sing his praise. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Amen. The Marksman Quartet here on the Old Paths broadcast, and Matthew 24. And we ought to be watching and praying. We ought to be looking, and we ought to be expecting the Lord. I tell you, we're living in perilous times, and we need to be We need to be ready. As the song said, we need to be ready for his coming. And if you know, too many people are distracted. They're sitting around watching American Idol and sitting around worrying about sports. And, I mean, hey, sports, I understand people need a little entertainment every now and then, and if you can find it and it's wholesome. But people get, they lose their whole lives in those things. And or they get caught up in music so much that they forget there's a world going on, or they get caught up in their technology. And I tell you what, brother, we got. I mean, I'm guilty of it just like you are. I'm guilty of communicating all the majority of my day with people that are on my phone, and I don't spend enough time with those around me. And that is one of the ills of this. Of this day and time that we live in. But anyway, I digress, because I can keep going on that. But back to this, the Son of God movie, which is, and I'll be honest with you, I'll give you my synopsis of this movie. Satan is trying to reset the public mind of who Jesus is. He ratchets it up every little bit he gets. You know, we had the Willem Dafoe, let's push the idea of some homosexuality, that thing with The Last Temptation of Christ. You know, we had the whole Jesus Christ superstar. But, you know, now we've taken it to a whole new level. And it's just ratcheting things up just another notch and resetting again. All those maybe who didn't watch those movies back in the days of Charlton Heston's Ten Commandments, those movies that came out during that time, and the Alexander Scorby New Testament crowd, you know what I'm saying. This is a new generation, and they're trying to update Jesus, and it's definitely trying to retrofit him to their new age mindset.
Boy, they sure are, brother, and you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what they are trying to do. Bible verses here in Matthew chapter 24. As we understand, these are prophetic verses that Jesus gave when he was here. And, you know, I think they're applicable all the way through until he returns. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 24. It says here in verse number 23, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall also arise, false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now we understand there is the Antichrist that will come. But there are also false antichrists that are already in the world. There are these that are false Christs that are saying, hey, I'm Christ. You know, I preach another message. I preached one right after this one on Sunday. And it's on it's basically, where did the long-haired hippie Jesus come from? And I show how that's an occult symbol. That is all. The occult is always used, a long-haired hippie type looking Jesus, that's not Jesus, obviously. That's the world's Jesus, but it's not the one that's found in the Bible, not the one that we believe on. It's a different one. This Hollywood is promoting a false Christ. It's not the Christ of the Bible. It's not he's not that's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a hippie, and he's not some, you know, weird-looking androgynous dude like this man. Anyway, the Bible, by the way, the Bible, in Mark chapter 8, the question was asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answereth, and saith unto him, "Thou art the Christ." And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Now, Isaiah chapter 53 also says who he is in verse number 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and out of the root, and a root out of dry ground, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him."
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, this takes me to an article, though, that I'm going to read you right now. And I really hate to read this because it's weird, but this is a popular one. And brother, you know which article I'm probably going to here when it starts to talk about just what in the world Jesus looked like.
Now, is this a female writing the article, or is this a male?
This is a female.
Okay. That makes your reading of it sound less creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Okay, the hashtag on this was Hot Jesus. Yeah, you heard it. Must he be sexy? This is a lady by the name of Carol Costello, and you can find this at CNN. She anchors the 9 to 11 a.m. edition of CNN Newsroom each weekday. Now, you're going to notice some things here if you're paying attention. You'll notice some things right off the bat that just don't sound right with this lady. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Well, first of all, she starts out, clearly, Jesus was sexy. After all, he is the Son of God. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but as I watched the trailer for the new movie, Son of God, I found myself gawking at the actor portraying Jesus. Now, let's stop there for a second. Now, do you actually believe, first of all, in this movie, which I find very weird, is that Jesus is the one with long, flowing, blondish hair, like Fabio or something. He's got hair like Fabio, okay? And he's got hair to make
you
a lady.
You date yourself so bad.
I know I'm old, but that's, you know who Fabio. You know who Fabio is, all right?
Yeah, last time I saw him, he was with Spuds McKenzie, brother.
Oh, wow, that's been a long time, man. Anyway, so he had this long flowing hair. And, okay, now, can you explain something to me? I want you to explain this to me, because this is the strangest thing in the whole world to me. So here's a white dude. Just a white guy with long flowing hair, looking like a mix between an effeminate masculine man, walking around everybody that is dark haired, with kinky hair, and is Jewish looking, and he's a white dude walking around Palestine.
Yeah, that's a little bit strange.
Everybody else around him looks Jewish. And he's some white muscle-bound dude from California.
Well, you know, that is odd. I mean, I don't understand unless they're just trying to appeal to white audiences. I mean, I was at a funeral in a black church recently, and they had the funeral home fans, which had a rendering of a black Jesus with a Jerry curl. Talking to some black children, and had crosses in the background on the picture. So I guess it's maybe they're trying to appeal to a white audience.
I don't know. Maybe that would be a little more accurate than the one that we see here. I mean, I'm not about to say Jerry
Curl.
Well, mine
is Jerry Curl, yeah. Well, it was kind of Afro-ish.
But so, I mean, we understand that he was Jewish, okay? But anyway, this lady says, I'm not the only one gawking at Morgado's Jesus. He inspired the hashtag Hot Jesus. It went viral on Twitter. The actor told the New York Times, listen to this is sick. He doesn't want his looks to distract from the movie, but if the message of Jesus was love, hope, and compassion, and I can bring that to more people by being a more appealing Jesus, I'm happy with that. Stop for a second. Did you just hear what he said? If I can attract people with my looks, if I can be a more appealing Jesus. Now listen to what you're saying.
Well, brother, isn't that what happens every Sunday in every mega church across from sea to shining sea? If we can have a more appealing Jesus, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
They're just giving people what they want, brother.
I know.
They're just giving America what America wants. America wants a sexy Jesus.
Listen to this. John chapter 5 and verse number 43. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. And I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Oh, what is he talking about there? He's talking about the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come in his own name, and you're going to receive him. Now, how do we know that that's the Antichrist he's talking about? Because if you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that he's going to sit in the temple of God, saying he is God. So,
yep.
What does that mean? He's saying he's coming in his own name. He's saying, and he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God.
Mm-hmm.
That spirit of what this man is saying right here.
Right.
He is saying to you right here, he's saying, if I could be a more appealing Jesus, if the message, he said, if I could be a little bit better, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, hey. He says, if I could bring that to more people by being a more appealing Jesus, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, Jesus has to use if Jesus has to use some carnality, why not? That's what he's saying. And that's
apparently exactly. What he's saying is that Jesus needed a little more sex appeal.
Yeah, that's exactly what this new age mega church crowd is doing.
Yeah. Metrosexual.
That's what your Marx Driscolls that you've mentioned. I've never heard, but I've read a lot of bad things about.
Yeah, he's the pulpit pimping preacher right there. He's the pulpit pimp there, Mark Driscoll. Anyway,
right.
Okay, moving right. By the way, Mark Driscoll was a part of this movie too. He was a part of the planning and promoting of this movie, just so you know.
Well, did they consult Jack Scott?
They had enough perverts; they didn't need another one. I think they probably had a pervert level that they didn't want to cross, and their pervert quota had been met.
We better move on, brother.
I'm moving on. I don't want to get you in trouble. Nobody likes me anyway. That'll just get you in trouble. It won't get me in any trouble.
Well, I'm the one that brought it up, so.
Yeah, it's your fault. Let the transgression be upon your head.
Amen. I'll bear it.
Brother Lonnie just hit a rim shot on his drums when we said that, by the way. Anyway, okay. All right, so let's move right along here with this sexy New Age Jesus here that's not the one of the Bible. She says here, clearly we have a new trend. A more appealing Jesus is not just a better prophet. He's sexy.
God help.
A better prophet? But she says, we actually don't know what Jesus looked like. We do know he was a carpenter, so perhaps he was buff. Who cares? What does that have to do with worshiping God?
Not a thing.
They want to worship humanity. They're waiting for this is a New Age spiritual movie about a New Age Christ, and that's what they're promoting. And
absolutely.
This lady just fits the scene.
Yeah, there's not a lot of content to this movie from what I've read. There's a lot of things left out. That John the Baptist is just a brief mention. Somebody hollers from the crowd, "Hey, John the Baptist is dead," and that's about it.
Yeah, so much for, and I say yet more than a prophet, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, God died, so just want to tell you.
Hey, did you know John's dead? Oh, just anyway, see ya. Hey, did you hear John's dead? No, he's God.
That's
he didn't know it.
Yeah, that's about what it's resorting to.
No, he's God. He didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, but I don't think when the biblical Nathaniel asked Nazareth, can any good thing come from there? And Philip answered, come and see. They were talking about Jesus' beautiful face or chiseled abs. No, I don't think they were talking about that either. I think so. Yes, Jesus, as portrayed in countless paintings, has a six-pack. As, you know, whatever, anyway, I'm not even going to read that. That's stupid. All joking aside, why would you joke about God? Why would you joke about Jesus? He said, you've seen that picture, right? He's ripped. He's the Son of God. He's not going to be walking around with saying I've got back fat today. I'm so puffy.
Mm.
I don't know very many men that call themselves puffy anyway.
No. I don't know too many men that worry about it.
No, but, I mean, so puffy. Oh, I'm feeling
right.
A little puffy today.
Yeah, got a little water weight gain.
Wow, I'm a little puffy. Okay, anyway, that's sad. Okay, let's move along here. Let's see. Anything that is sexy is going to attract people. People who might not go to the movie. Brother Wally says they are idiots. You're right, Brother Wally. They are idiots, that's for sure.
Brother Wally's right.
That's right, he's right. Anything that is sexy is going to attract people. People who might want not go to the movie might want to check it out, particularly not Christians. And Reverend Lisa Jenkins, she's the senior pastor of St. Matthew's Baptist Church in Harlem. Oh, my word. She says this, I don't see a problem with Jesus being attractive, given our cultural context. I don't see a problem with it, she says. I don't recall a Jesus who was not gay. Jenkins is more concerned. What's that?
I said you're kind of cutting out there, brother.
Man, I hope not. The devil sure would like this to end, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'm hearing you now.
Okay, if I start sounding like a robot, I'm not turning into a cyborg or anything. And Google hasn't kidnapped me and stuck me in a cyborg's body or anything weird like that.
Right.
Laugh, Brother Brandon. It's okay. We can laugh.
No, it's okay. Yeah, so I'm sure it's you, brother. I just picture you down in the basement in Minnesota with about 3 foot of snow, and you're sitting down there holding two antennas in your hand trying to get a signal.
Well, there you go, brother. You about got it right, because that's what's going on. Anyway, I'm on, like, one leg.
You got your kids standing in one spot, don't move, because I can get a signal when you stand right there.
I got 4 kids, and they're holding two pairs of rabbit ears. So, it's going here. Anyway, all right, enough of that article. I don't want to know anything about this modern-day sexy Jesus they're trying to push here. It's Antichrist. We understand that. We know that. Okay. Oh, no. Kino says I'm holding tin cans. We don't hold that. We hold tin cans and strings here. We don't use rabbit ears or antennas anymore. We're a little more sophisticated than that. Hey, what are you talking about? You're from Texas down south, and you're trying to hillbilly me up? What do you mean here? We're way more advanced than that. Anyway, all right. I'm like George Bush. I know how to use the Google. And the internet.
Absolutely.
Anyway, all right, let's move along with this heretical Jesus movie, this Son of God movie here. Acts chapter 17 says this. I want you to keep this verse in mind right here, because Acts chapter 17 nails this whole thing down and nails a lot of the idolatry down today. Acts 17:29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. God is saying you're not supposed to, the Apostle Paul is saying you're not supposed to be fashioning God after something. The Godhead isn't worshipped like that. You don't worship God like that. You don't make your little images and your little things of God. You don't do that.
Amen.
God said a long time ago when he gave the Ten Commandments out, there's one command he says. He said, don't use images to worship me. Don't create an image to worship me. Don't graven an image and say it's me. It's not me. Don't say it's me.
Can't tell you how many times. Well, I used to be an insurance agent, and I'd go into a lot of homes, especially into the black part of the community. And there would always be 3 pictures hanging on the wall. There would be John F. Kennedy. There would be a picture of Martin Luther King Jr. And then there'd be a lily white, blonde haired, blue eyed Jesus looking up with a ray of light coming down on him.
Yep, the long-haired one with the golden hair that's standing at the door.
Well, no, just kind of.
Or
a,
is this the one that was the portrait that was like right?
It's the headshot.
Yep, I've seen that one too. I've seen
like
the one where he's standing. Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I don't want to think of Jesus in that context. You know, and that's been thrown at us all our lifetime. We've been handed this here. This is what Jesus looks like, and you know, us faithful independent Baptists, we've been since we've learned how to Photoshop, we've been taking the long hair off the Jesus coloring pages and you know trying to fix it. But you know, even that, I mean, why we don't know what he looked like, and why even put that image out there in your mind?
Yeah, I know. Well, I do. I know why they did, and you can trace it back to the occult. In my, you know, we don't have time to cover that today, but in my second message that I preached, I traced the history. I did a lot of research last week on this for hours, and I traced the history of those images, where they come from and why they're used. And you find them with Quetzalcoatl back in the Indians used them, and they had a guy that was a white dude that came that had long flowing hair, and he was going to come back again one day. And I mean, just there's, yeah, I mean, it's historically, that is actually Zeus. That is actually the statues that they changed from Zeus to Jesus. Constantine did that. It goes way deep. Anyway, if anybody ever wants to listen to that, maybe Brother Lonnie, they could find it for us. They can find it for us at on mysermonaudio.com. It's called The Image of the Beast, or The Image of or The Image of Christ, or something like that. Or I did retitle it The Long-Haired Hippie Jesus, or whatever, or something like that, where he came from or something. And anyway, so that you can trace why they're doing that. Because I believe, if you listen to that sermon, I believe they're setting the world up to receive an image of someone that's going to come that's going to look like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I definitely believe.
I just do. I think there's something being set up for that. But that's a theory. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. But, hey, that's just the way. Anyway, so let's talk about the substance of this movie now. I want to show you what they've done with this movie, some of the things that they've said about this movie. Because it's just downright sick how they've perverted the message in it. All right, did Jesus come to change the world? One of the major themes of this movie is that Jesus came to change the world. That's not true.
He was revolutionary.
Yeah, listen to this now. Listen to what they say. When Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee, rather than call his first four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he only calls one disciple, Peter. Well, that makes sense since a Catholic made the movie. But rather than call Peter and Andrew from their boat while they were fishing, Jesus pleads with Peter. Peter, just give me an hour. New life.
Say that one more time. You kind of cut out there when you said that.
Okay. He said, just give me, he said, Peter looks over at Jesus and he says, Jesus looks over at Peter and Jesus says to him, give me 1 hour, Peter, and I'll give you a whole new life. So it's like it's Joel Osteen with a wink and a click going, hey, Pete, I can change your world, buddy.
That's right. Just turn into my show.
Yeah. That's it. But now Joel Osteen is the one that announces this clip. So it just screams
right.
Of Joel Osteen. It just screams of it. He says here, after sassing Jesus, Peter takes him fishing, where Jesus works a miracle and provides him with an abundance of fish. When Peter asks what they are going to do, Jesus says, change the world.
Wow.
We're going to change. I mean, it's like they sound like, they sound like the Blues Brothers or something. I mean,
we're on a mission from God.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to change.
Right.
That's what it sounded like. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, it goes on to say, but the Bible says that Jesus doesn't beg anyone to spend time with him. In the Bible account, you don't see that. After all, he is Lord. He has all the authority to command who he wants and what he wants. Therefore, he commands Peter and Andrew to follow him, and they immediately leave their boats and nets and obey Jesus' command.
Right.
Just as the apostles who were commissioned by Christ to go into all the world and
right.
the gospel and make disciples. Jesus said why he came in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He came to set the captives free.
Amen. Praise God he set me free. I thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Listen, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back here. We've got 1 minute to the break here. And, you know, man, time flies by fast when you're having fun, brother.
It does.
I'm telling you, I let's see, what do we got coming up here for a song here? Let's see. I'm not sure. It's a surprise.
Well, surprise. On the old fast run.
There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived in a godly way. Something's wrong, it's time to turn around. Something's wrong.
Too many sleepy Christians out there. We all need to wake up and do more for the Lord and get on fire for
Amen.
God. have a zeal for the righteousness and holiness of God Almighty, and separate from sin in our lives. And one of the major sins we need to separate is the entertainment industry, and get it away from our lives, and have it not be a part of us. And as we're going down through these errors that are in this Son of God movie, that's one of them. I'll not labor on that point there, but you understand why Jesus came. He came to change people. He came to save them and to change them, to wash them in his own blood, and to change them, to justify
save them.
Amen.
From their sins.
That's right, brother. Now, that's not a popular thing to say today, because people want to be saved from hell, but not saved from sin.
Well, it ain't never been popular.
That's right, brother.
But it don't ever change, that's for sure.
No, it sure don't. Now, next, let's look at the 13 disciples. In Scripture, there are only 12 disciples. They're all men, too, by the way. But in the film, there are 13 disciples, and the 13th disciple is a woman named Mary. Not only is she always with them, but she's with them in the boat during the storm when Jesus walks on water. She's with them when they travel privately, though in the Scriptures, Jesus pulls aside and taught only the 12 men. Mary is also very outspoken and often reproves the male disciples to have more faith, as her faith is a lot stronger.
Now, I know, brother, that has to have some kind of esoteric meaning. There has to be. I mean, of course, you got the number 13 right off the top.
Well, witches' covens have 13 members. Okay. The other thing about it is, 13 is a number for rebellion. So
right. There's
some rebellion here, and
you got a woman leading.
There you go. There's the 13th disciple is a woman, and that stands for rebellion. So they'd really tip their hand there when they show that. But also, I think there's another connotation here. And the other connotation is that Mary Magdalene, now they don't say this in the film, but Mary Magdalene, she was the cults and the Masonic order and all of them, they portray Mary Magdalene as Jesus' girlfriend that had babies.
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
So what's a woman doing traveling around with 12 guys, 13 guys or whatever?
Well, it seems to me that they really wanted to push that idea, but they knew they couldn't say it out loud, so it's just innuendo.
Right. During the crucifixion scene when Jesus is being jeered at by the crowd, Mary defends Jesus and shouts, "Leave him be!" She's braver than all the male disciples, and they never speak up or do anything heroic or faithful. And that's right, Brother Wally makes a good point. They want to feminize the men, too. They want to make them look like, shut up, little boy, go in the corner and let mommy deal with it.
Wait, hold on a minute. Now, doesn't this woman have some charismatic, this Roma, doesn't she have some charismatic ties? You said she's mystical.
Spiritist.
So she'd fit right in with the TBN crowd.
You better believe it. She's got the spirit of Jezebel on her is what she's got.
Well, of course. So that woman, domineering woman spirit, so of course they had to insert that character in there for that reason as well, that whole feministic Jezebel spirit. Amen.
You ain't a kid, man. That's exactly what they did. Well, then when Jesus is resurrected, she's the first and only woman to enter the empty tomb. She also accompanies Peter and John, who later come to the empty tomb to see for themselves. In Scripture, though, three women go to the tomb early in the morning and are greeted by angels who remind them that Jesus said he would rise on the third day. This is an unbiblical portrayal of the true Son of God. While the fake Jesus and his disciples are walking through a crowd, Mary, the 13th disciple, just happens to see Martha weeping and asks her, "What's wrong?" When Martha says that Lazarus has died, listen to this. In the movie, Jesus is surprised, which he often is throughout this film. So he's like shocked. He's like, "Jesus."
So Jesus went, "Whoa, wait a minute.
I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't see that coming.
Now, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, were to go, uh-oh, the entire universe would cease to exist. So that's just preposterous.
I mean,
just the whole idea.
Hey, I didn't see that. I mean, it's like he looked at everybody and was like, "Hey, I didn't see that one coming."
Why didn't they just have Keanu Reeves play Jesus?
I don't know. Entering the Matrix.
He could have went, whoa.
Yeah. Like Keanu Reeves, such a whoa. Anyway. Oh, man. Okay,
it's such baloney.
I know it is.
It's, but, you know, I got to thinking about that, you know, having Mary in there as that 13th disciple. I mean, doesn't that give the women pastors, or if you can call them that, you know what I mean, these women preachers around, gives
all
them
these,
a shot and all? Hey,
yeah,
look
you're
at,
right, brother.
Equal
I'm
footing.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, you're...
All these women pastors are back in this movie. Paula White, the one that had the affair with Benny Hinn over at the Vatican. Boy, it don't get much worse than that, man. It don't get much worse than that. Okay, so you're a charismatic preacher, and you're a woman, and then you're hanging out with Benny Hinn, fornicating at the Vatican with the Pope there. Is there anything
at the Vatican?
Is there anything any worse than that at all?
That, man, somebody, I mean, you know, of course I wouldn't watch soap operas, but that would make a pretty good soap opera.
It just fits it to a T, doesn't it? Anyway,
they need to be on Springer, I can tell you that.
I can hear the chants of Jerry right now when Paula White comes out. But anyway, all right, so as we keep moving here, once Jesus, remember, he's surprised. Ooh, I didn't know that was happening. He died? It's like Jesus looked at him and goes, for real? Sorry. Okay. So Jesus is surprised, which he often is throughout the film, and asks to be taken to the tomb. Take me to the tomb. Once Jesus arrives, he actually goes in with Martha. Wait a minute. Now that didn't happen, so he just steps in with Martha. Here we go. Then he, listen to this. Then he touches Lazarus' face, whose face is not wrapped. He gently cradles his head, weeps, kisses the back of Lazarus' head, and quotes some scripture, and gently suggests that Lazarus rise. He just kisses his head and goes, hey, buddy, it's time to get up. And all of a sudden, instead of with commanding Lazarus come forth, he gets behind him, he grabs his head, he kisses his dead corpse, and he says, rise.
So he just kind of leans over and says, wake up, buddy.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, just when you thought that, oh, by the way, listen to this. Then Martha and Lazarus embrace, and the three of them emerge from the tomb as the crowd cheers. It's like a football game.
Yeah.
Yeah! They're all cheering and screaming. It's like, wait a minute now. Come on. You just took one of the most solemn moments in all of history, and you turned
it
into
where was Jesus
a football game. Oh. What's that?
Where's Jesus weeping?
Yeah, he was weeping because remember when he was at that tomb for their lack of faith, he was weeping, and he said, and he said, "Oh, you know, faithless generation." But now you thought that was bad enough, right? No, it's not. It's worse than that. It gets worse. Listen to this. In this movie, Jesus talked Judas into betraying him. Listen to this. Jesus has never shown humbling himself and serving the disciples as one of the lowliest servants in a household. But he doesn't have to, since throughout the film, the Lord is depicted as more of our buddy than our glorious master and king. So here the Lord is shown laughing and enjoying this meal with his disciples. The Last Supper, right? Are you listening to this? It's like,
right.
It's like laughing and joking like he's at a Chinese buffet or something. Then this, okay, he's laughing and enjoying this meal with his disciples. Then suddenly, he had a vision of being betrayed by Judas. Pretend Jesus has a look on a surprise and defeated sadness as he tells the disciples for the first time that he's going to be betrayed, suffer, and die.
So he had an epiphany at the supper, right in the middle of his, right, and folks, don't take me wrong, I am not belittling my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I'm doing is mocking this horrendous portrayal, however you want to put it. But it's almost as if their little cocktail party was busted up by this vision he had. is the way it sounds to me.
That's what they're saying. Yes, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. They're saying that the party's over, boys. And because he looks up and he's like, okay, so he gets this pretend Jesus.
It's almost as if his spidey sensor went off. You know, something bad's about to happen.
That's how they make it look. That's how they make it look. He sees his vision. Oh, I did not know that Judas was going to betray me. Jinkies, this could be bad.
How can people actually garbage and come out of it with anything other than disgust?
Because they go in there under false pretenses and they come out with the same. They just don't think through it. Oh, Jesus, entertainment. They love God. They show the death, the burial, and the resurrection, maybe. It must be good. It's okay.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Right. That's what they're going to say. So listen to this. Okay. So then pretend Jesus, he sees the vision, and he's defeated, he's sadness, and then he tells his disciples that. After Jesus has this surprising and upsetting vision of Judas betraying him, he turns to Judas and convinces Judas to betray him. With tears, Judas adamantly refuses. But Jesus
really?
Is dear. Now listen to this.
That's in the Bible. Sure.
Yeah. Listen to this. It gets worse.
Not.
But Jesus endearingly holds Judas's face, then gently and lovingly insists that Judas do it, and do it quickly.
Wow.
Does as Jesus says. So you see, it's Jesus' fault that Judas did that. It's all Jesus' fault.
Well, that's hyper-Calvinism there.
Yeah, worse than that, yeah. So listen to this.
Oh, mercy. Thanks.
So however, Jesus never mentions, by the way, in this movie, Jesus never mentions the just penalty of sin or the need to be made new creatures in Christ or repent. The need to be new creatures through repentance and faith in Christ, it's never mentioned.
Hmm.
I wonder why.
Well, I know we haven't gotten to it yet, but the devil is not in this movie either.
Yeah, that's next. Satan did the greatest disappearing act from ever in the history. Ever. Is Satan dead? An article you can see on Time.com by William E. Jefferson, and that's not Jefferson Clinton, by the way. This new film takes Jesus out of it, brother. They don't want him to dirty up the movie.
You mean Satan?
I mean Satan. So, well, whatever. They took Jesus out of it too. But
yeah, they did. Now the story is that this Roma, and if I'm not mistaken, the story is that this Roma woman. What's her last name? Downey. Roma Downey.
Roma Downey. Touched by a devil.
She was involved with this Bible miniseries that aired on TV that I did not see. Correct?
Yes.
And did she also act in that miniseries too? I didn't know that.
Did she say that again?
Did she act in that miniseries?
Yes, she was Mary in the movie. She is Mary, the mother of Jesus in the movies.
Right.
Not Mary Magdalene.
But the miniseries, the character that portrayed Satan was it caused a great uproar because the character that the person that they used, the actor, resembled had a striking resemblance of Barack Hussein Obama, and so there was so much stir over that. She said in the article that I read that she left the devil on the cutting room floor. She just didn't want any controversy, so she just cut the devil completely out of the movie.
Exactly, that's what she did. She cut him completely.
Well, of course,
out of the movie.
Well, brother, she's a Luciferian, and you know that whole idea of a bad devil is totally alien to her. So, of course, she has to get rid of him.
Absolutely. She has to get rid of him because, yeah, that fits the agenda. And then you show this squirrely-looking Jesus, this, in all actuality, the guy that they're showing to be Jesus He's actually more Satan than he is. He's actually more the Antichrist. And it's my firm conviction that most of these are just really depictions of the Antichrist. They all have hidden occultic agendas in them. And that's exactly what's going on here with this one. There's nothing, it's no different. Same thing. You know, Satan's gone. You know, they take him out. And the question I guess we have to ask ourselves in the remaining 10, 15 minutes. Well, first of all, let me tell you who endorses it. Rick Warren, yeah. The senior pastor of Saddleback. Saddleback. Not Brokeback Mountain, but Saddleback. Probably not much difference, though. But anyway, he says this, brilliantly produced with stunning cinematography, a Hans Zimmer score, and academic-worthy acting. Not since The Passion of Christ 10 years ago have I been this excited about a movie.
Well, the high priest of the New Age, the CFR member, Council of Foreign Relations, remember Rick Warren. Well, if it has his stamp of approval, we know it's definitely New Age.
Yes, it is. And let's see here. Let's see. Mr. Purple, he's Mr. Purple Haze himself, Rick Warren. Mark Driscoll says this, Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, their work is truly unprecedented in the history of the church, and I am happy to work with them to make the most of this incredible opportunity to share the gospel in this unique, impactful way. Mark Driscoll, founder of Pastor at Mars Hill Church. He's the pimp, the pulpit preaching pervert, pulpit pimping preaching pervert there, Mark Driscoll, that, you know, he likes to talk about male-female relationships, the marriage bed. He likes to expound on the marriage bed in a room full of people. For some reason, these guys think you need directions and you need a diagram or something. I don't know. They're a bunch of perverts. But anyway, they all have that same wicked spirit that fills them. And, you know, listen, beware of a pastor that wants to give you tips on the marriage bed. That's a little weird. Hey, Gothard just got nailed for 32 counts here while he's being accused by 32 different women or so, young girls or so. He was a man that was never married, from what I understand, and he was running this organization. All these young ladies were coming to it. And here's a guy that wrote a manual about how you can please your wife and your wife can please your husband. And this guy's not even married. So let me get this straight. I'm supposed to take advice from some pervert that even has it in his mind to write up a stupid manual in the first place on this, but let alone that he writes up the manual on it, and I'm supposed to take this guy's advice, and he ain't even married.
Who's this?
Bill Gothard.
Oh. Okay. I know the name.
Yeah, Bill Gothard. Anyway, for some reason, a lot of these fundamentalists are they get into perverted things. I don't know what the deal is with them, but they just, man, I'm telling you. And then they talk about the Catholics, the Roman Catholics. Well, listen, let's clean up our own house first here with the fundamentalists that are running around doing all this stuff, and let's out them and tell
Amen.
Them about them and call them to repentance.
Amen.
And, okay, so anyway, these guys are Bishop T.D. Jakes. Big T.D.
Yeah, well, we talked about him. We talked about him with the whole occult business going on in his church. Was it 2 weeks ago? We talked about him with the whole chakras and getting the baby out
yeah.
and all that.
What was the guy that was with him that was giving him money that gave him $1 million?
Tyler Perry.
Here's $1 million.
Yeah,
TD, and man,
he does the whole Madea's family thing.
Yeah, I feel the anointing. Mm. I feel the anointing. So I'm going to give you $1 million. Okay, that's your anointing. Okay. Anyway, old Bishop TD here, he says, I believe the audience will be enthralled, encouraged, and inspired.
Enthralled.
Enthralled.
Mesmerized, in other words.
Mesmerized. Yeah, there's a lot of evangelical pastors with this Son of God movie. And, I mean, there was a whole list of them. I read about 50 of these pastors that are recommending this movie. I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's like 50 of them.
You know, it's kind of insulting, brother. It's kind of insulting that a man of God doesn't get a little bit, embarrassed. He can't put a sermon together out of the Word of God that's more powerful than a Hollywood movie. That he'd spend all that time and effort trying to promote a Hollywood movie when all one has to do is open up the King James Bible and preach the Word of God.
Well, they don't believe it's the Bible. So, you know, when you don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God, I mean, man, whoops. I was trying to go to their website, but it started going off on me here. So, let's see. I was trying to find the list of these preachers, and I don't know if I filled out that. No, that's not it. There was an art. I had a link to it, and I don't know where it is. But anyway, all these preachers were back in this, and I mean, a bunch of women were back in it. There was just a ton of women back in this movie. These women, female preachers, Paula White and all the others, and they're just so excited about it. I mean, they're just, you know, they're just really pumped up about how good this movie's going to be and everything.
I just want to say, you know, I remember the last time when it was Passion of the Christ, and like I said before, you know, that was kind of when I was in my infancy of understanding things, and God was just opening my eyes to a lot of things at that time, and I fell sucker to that go see that movie, and I sat through that and was so disgusted. I was disgusted with myself for actually having gone into that place to watch that garbage, and I was disgusted by what I went in there actually expecting to touch me, and cause some kind of a stirring inside of me. I don't know what I was thinking. Hollywood cannot manufacture the Holy Ghost. There's no way. So people ought to understand that. You cannot. Go ahead.
No, you're right, brother. I was just going to say that. You know, it's interesting. These people are looking for Hollywood to. These people are looking for Hollywood for the answers, and they're shacking up or they're yoking up with Hollywood, and it's shocking to see that people actually believe that this could be acceptable to God. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, brother, you see it in every aspect of society. I mean, there's in every segment of our culture. People want a religion that's shiny, that's pretty, that's trendy. I even see it, you know, in the culture, and I'm based here, but I even see it with the culture, this subculture or this cowboy church culture. It's all about shiny, dress up, let's look a certain way, let's fit in. People just totally, they go into it lock, stock, and barrel. People want to be a part of some trend. And this whole New Age Jesus, this whole idea of, you know, God winks at sin, it's all about the carnal nature. It's giving oneself over to the flesh to embrace this New Age Jesus, and people need to realize that when they go to this movie, they're opening themselves up to exposure to this New Age ideology, and they need to heed what we're saying to them tonight, because it's a danger. It's a real danger.
Absolutely, it is, and it's a way for the occult to get in. It's a way for them to get a foot in the door, and Hollywood is a major way, and selling people a false Jesus, one that's not found in the scriptures, and it's happening. It's working. You've got these high. I'm going to come out with a series here pretty soon in the future on the high priests of the New World Order, and it's these guys. These prophets of the New World Order, you know, Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and all of these men, they're prophets.
Absolutely, you're right.
They're prophets of the New Age, and man, they're pushing another gospel. Yes, Did you see what he did this week with the Pope, with that Catholic coming?
Oh no. And
yeah, it's he had the Catholic,
what happened?
He had this Catholic priest come this week, a couple weeks ago, and this Catholic priest came and said the Reformation is over. The protest is over.
Huh.
The protest with Rome is over. We are all one now. And,
wow.
And the Pope wants you to come to the Vatican.
Wow.
You know.
Is Benny Hinn all white going to be there? I mean.
Sounds like it, brother. Sounds like the whole gang's going to be there. But he came on stage, and what he said was just unbelievable. Talking about how basically that priest got on there and he goes, and we're all Catholics. I'm like, I ain't no Catholic.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you little rotten devil. You ain't getting me into nowhere. All right, we got 30 seconds here. We got 30 seconds here, brother. We have got to go.
Amen, brother. Well, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I hope people got their eyes open. They see things a little clearly and not just go like the sheep herd down to the theater and get their mind corrupted.
I hope so too, brother. I really do, because this is important. It's important to tell the truth, that people understand the truth about all these things. They're not fooled by it.
Amen. Praise God. Well, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And to all our listeners out there, God bless you. Thank you for listening tonight. And we look forward to being back here on the air next Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We'll see you, brother.
Yep. See you later, brother.